please. Good morning, and welcome to the October 5th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Novick. Ritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We have some important and historic things to celebrate this morning, and that's what we're going to be doing first. So without objection, we're going to take the calendar in a slightly different order. That is, we're going to do our presentation, proclamation, and discussion about Indigenous Peoples Day right out of the gate. Then we'll do our second time certain. Then we'll move to council communications. I understand that we've got a full agenda today, so I want to make sure we get everything done, but we're going to have to do things slightly differently. So if there's no objection, I'm going to move consent agenda to this afternoon. So that's how we're going to roll. Welcome, everyone, and we're looking forward to this presentation and discussion this morning very much. It's not in my official script, but I just right out of the gate want to thank Pat Gibson, our city's tribal liaison, for her work in building these relationships and partnerships with the tribal governments and sovereign nations that surround us. It is a wonderful thing that the city of Portland is among the few cities that has a tribal liaison, and I hope she doesn't mind me embarrassing her by starting this morning's meeting by saying, we're glad you're here, Pat. Thank you very much. So, with no further ado, would you please read the item 1096?
Proclaim October 10, 2016, to be Indigenous Peoples Day in Portland.
Excellent. Good morning. I know you have some folks that are here that are going to begin the presentation. We'll wait for that.
If we stand over here, we
don't. It certainly is. Good morning, John. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm going to ask this man of many talents, John George, to begin the presentation this morning, please. Yes, please. Pull the microphone up a little bit there, John. Or sit down, whichever you
okay,
prefer.
Okay, stand in on it. So, Mayor and City Council, we thank you today for this. And so, in our language, I will say, L'chaim, Naika Neem, John George, Naika Tillicum, the Riggs in the Northwest, Naika Tillicum, Saiwashilhi from Rogue and Niumqua, Naiga Tum Tum Slush Uksan. I said hello today in my language. My name is John George, and I'm a Grand Round Tribal Council member, secretary, and I come from the Rogue, the Riggs in the Northwest, and I'm from the Rogue and Niumqua people here in Oregon. And today, my heart is good, so I thank you for that today. So I want to thank you for our drummers and stuff, too. And our song is called the New Beginnings also. And so we thank you for this and the relationship we have with Portland today. And so it was an honor today for us to sing our song today, to stand upon our ceded lands, you know, and to honor our ancestors of the Willamette Valley Treaty of 1855, the Multnomahs and the Clackamas here in this area. So... from here, we were moved to the reservation in 1857 in Grand Round, what we call our home today in Satu. And so I want to thank you today for this resolution that you are doing today to honor our Native people in Satu and also with our relationship that we have with the city of Portland in Satu. And we look forward for this relationship today, but for many generations to come. So I thank you for this and your service and stuff, and to honor our people, you know, of this area of Oregon and the two, and so that they come here and to live in this beautiful city and stuff too. So I thank you for that. Hayumasi is many thanks in our language. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, thank you, John. Thank you very much. We have some other tribal representatives here this morning, I believe, Jordan Mercier and Brian Crabille and Stacy Martin and Rob Green. So please come forward, those that are here, and we appreciate hearing from you. Have a seat if you'd like. Good morning.
Hello there, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Greg Archuleta, and I'm a member of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Round, and I think our other crew is hiding here somewhere.
Okay,
they've asked me to come forward. And first I'd like to say, L'chaim, Mayor, Commissioners, Nitzayga Mithlai Kabashlus Tum Tum, Nitzayga Chaku Wakai Uksan, Ankari Nitzayga Ultulikum Suska Mithlai Ukwa, Kaba Nitzayga Ikanum, and Saika to an economy kaba conchi ilihi monk sluice kaba nitsaika tilikum. And I just wanted to say a few words in our Chinook language as our council member John George did. And just let you know that on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Round, we're grateful for this day today and the proclamation the land here is part of the Chinook people that went to the Grand Ronde Reservation. I myself am a direct descendant from Oregon City John Chief, who was one of the treaty signers of 1855, and also on the Clackamas side, John Wachino, who signed on behalf of the Clackamas, and then also have family that are related to the Hualalar Cascades. That came down from the Cascade Rapids, where Bonneville Dam is now, down to the Portland area by where the airport was, resided in the winter time that we had our villages in the Cascade Rapids area also. These were all tightly knitted families that lived here in this region. And our tribes, our Chinookan people, are those that resided from the Cascade Rapids downriver to just below Rainier, Oregon, included the Portland area, up to the Oregon City area. And so those were the Chinookan people that were under the Treaty of the Kalapuya, etc., also known as the Willamette Valley Treaty of 1855, then were moved to the Grand Ronde Reservation, along with many of our other tribes from Western Oregon, including the Kalapuyas tribes throughout the Willamette Valley, the Malalas from the Cascade Foothills, the Umpquas, the Rogue Rivers, the Takelmas, and Shastas from Southern Oregon and Northern California, and the Tillamook people also became part of the reservation. But since time immemorial, our people have lived here. At one time, this place was a lot of sloughs. There was a lot of islands, ponds, and one of our important food resources was the wapato that grew very heavily in this area. And so that was a primary plant food for us. And then it was so plentiful here that we could trade it to other tribes up and down the river. And of course, we had the great salmon. Steelhead runs here. And the sturgeon fishing. We had sturgeon fishing places here along the lower Willamette. And then the smelt runs that would actually come on the lower reaches of the Willamette as well as into the Sandy River. So we're grateful for this acknowledgement and recognition today. And so again, on behalf of the Confederate Tribes of Grand Ronde, Hayumasi.
Well, allow me to read the proclamation, and then we'll invite others from our tribal governments that are here. And I know we have someone here from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe as well. This is what the proclamation says. It says, whereas the city of Portland recognizes that the indigenous people of the lands that would later become known as the Americas have occupied these lands since time immemorial. And whereas the city recognizes the fact that Portland is built upon the homelands and villages and traditional use areas of the Multnomah and Clackamas Chinookan of this region, without whom the building of the city would not have been possible. And whereas indigenous people hand down oral histories, science, governance, a distinct relationship with water, land, rocks, native plants, birds, fish, and animals, and invaluable cultural knowledge and rich traditions that continue to thrive in Portland. And whereas indigenous people who have been here since time immemorial continue to contribute immeasurably to our country, state, and city's heritage, distinguishing themselves as scholars, veterans, teachers, athletes, artists, entrepreneurs, and leaders. Whereas the indigenous population of the Portland metro area is over 40,000 people, descended from more than 380 tribes and bands from across the nation. And whereas the city of Portland has a responsibility to oppose the systematic racism towards indigenous peoples of the United States, which perpetuates high rates of poverty and income inequality, exacerbating disproportionate health, education, and social crises. And whereas the city promotes the closing of the equity gap for indigenous peoples through policies, practices, and investments that reflect the experience of indigenous people, ensuring greater access and opportunity, and honoring our nation's indigenous history and contributions. Whereas the city of Portland continues to promote the prosperity and well-being of American Indian, Alaska Native, and indigenous communities. And whereas on October 7th, 2015, the Portland City Council passed a resolution resolving that the city of Portland shall recognize Indigenous Peoples Day each year on the second Monday of October. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim October 10th, 2016 to be Indigenous Peoples Day in Portland and encourage all residents, businesses, organizations, and public institutions to observe this day by reflecting on the ongoing struggles of Indigenous peoples on this land and to celebrate the thriving culture and value that Indigenous peoples add to our city. Thank you so much for being part of our community. So I want to invite those other presenters that I mentioned earlier, and I know also we have representatives of the Confederated Tribes of the Siletz here, and please come forward and welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I want to commend the City of Portland for proclaiming October 10th as Indigenous Day.
Sherry, tell us your name, please.
Sherry Addis with the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians, and I manage the Portland area office here that provides services to Native Americans, Alaskan Natives, and Hawaiian Natives. To quote a good movie, it's a good day to be Indigenous. Sadly, it has not always been good to be Indigenous. I think many of the people here, if we had the time, could tell you a story of how their families, their ancestors, suffered post-contact. I think that by making this proclamation, one of the things that stands out to me is that the City of Portland is acknowledging that history in Portland did not begin in 1851 when this city was established. I think by making this proclamation, you acknowledge that the Native people from all the nearly 400 tribes that make up the City of Portland's Indigenous population contribute positively to this society, to our city, and it's something we should celebrate. And so I want to commend you for making this proclamation. Many of us, if we had the time to tell you a story, could tell you how we made the choice for our families to live here in Portland. Sadly, many of those stories, you would learn that it was not their choice to leave their reservations, to leave their homelands and live here. It was a choice imposed upon them by the federal policies of assimilation and termination. My own tribe in 1956 was one, we have about 17 tribes of the, people argue what the exact number is. The low number is 17. 17 different tribes and bands make up our tribe. Our 17 tribes and bands were one of 60 tribes that with one piece of legislation, with one stroke of the pen, were terminated in 1956 and told they were no longer Native American. As a result of that, it caused a mass migration away from the reservation so that when we fought, and we were the first tribe in Oregon to be restored to federal status, when we fought, and in 1977, the legislation was passed that restored us, we made a commitment to be good city partners wherever our people lived. By that, I meant we made a determination to provide services whether they lived on the reservation or off. And from that day forward, we have done our best to serve and build and strengthen the Native community within each community since 1978. In fact, in June of this year, we celebrated the opening and establishment of an area office here in the City of Portland in 1986 and providing 30 years of services right here from the Portland City. We could tell you myriad stories of tribal members who have made decisions to better their situations, to make best choices for their health. That really uplifts us. This work is so rewarding to do. But I'd like to focus a little bit about the services that we've been providing. We provide self-sufficiency programs for tribal members, Alaskan Natives and Hawaiian Natives. We have a full comprehensive health program that focuses on reducing the occurrence of diabetes and severity of it, which is a plague on our people. We also have a healthy traditions program that works to incorporate the best of modern medicine and knowledge with traditional ways that are healing for our people. We have a housing program that provides emergency housing, rental assistance, and energy assistance for our tribal members. One of the programs that I love best is our Siletz Tribal Portland Area Head Start. It is the longest running Head Start program, Native centered, in the city of Portland, housed out of Whitman Elementary for 15 years. We see our young ones who attended that first year, who've now gone on to college, and one is in a master's program. And it's just so encouraging to see the emphasis our tribe and many others put on education as a path forward to the best future for our tribal members. We also have an education and culture program that provides support to students in school from K through college. And they also support a youth council, college funding, summer youth employment. We also have an elders program, because we know that when we become elders, if we're not active in our communities, we can tend to get sick and die if we're just staying home. So we have an active program that brings our elders out into the community to socialize, regular monthly events, even shopping trips for those who have no vehicle, to make their lives as viable as possible. So at this time, and I've certainly shortened the list of what we do because we don't have time to list it all, but at this time, I wanted to tell you how impressed I was with one of the ideas that's in your proclamation. It has a phrase where it says, I better put my glasses on, where it says that natives have a distinct relationship with water, land, rocks, etc. And that's very true. That relationship can be difficult for some to understand. But I'd like to share with you a story about our courtyard native plant garden and the impact it's had on people who visit our garden and visit our place. When we first moved into our building, the courtyard had traditional urban plantings. And one of our employees, Lori Johnson, who has since passed, was sick with cancer then. And she opened the courtyard door and said to me, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pull all this out and replace it with all native plants used by our ancestors? So our young ones who have been separated from the reservation for three or more generations would have an opportunity to know their plants." Well, after she lost her battle with cancer, our community joined together with other community members within and outside of our tribe. PSU and other organizations helped fund her idea, and we were able, with their assistance, to plant our native plant garden. Fast forward a few years, the garden is thriving, and a woman I'd never met before from another tribe came to seek assistance. And I helped her and got her connected up with the staff who would really do the work if she's ready to do the work. Later on, I was leaving the building when I see her standing outside the garden, and I apologize if I tear up because I do that over commercials. I see her standing beside the garden, clearly thinking deeply, and I asked her, "Is there anything I could do or explain to you about the garden?" And she said, "I'm here. When I was a young woman, I left the reservation up in Washington. She named a university that she went to and studied native plants. She studied their uses. She learned their medicine value. And she graduated from that university. But then later, her path got derailed. Alcohol had taken her down a path she never thought she would go. And so she was back at our office to recenter her life. And she said, "When I exited this building and saw these plants that I know, my friends, to be able to see them, touch them, and commune with them, it is healing my soul." So for us Native people, I hope that helps people who aren't familiar with how powerful our plants are, why they're important to sustain to this day. And that leads me to another commendation I'd like to do for the Parks Bureau. I have seen the Parks Bureau since 1986 since the initiation of the city having this annual proclamation. Go from just words on a page to finding ways to implement this in practical ways to serve our people and the greater community. One of the ways they did this was by establishing a Native American Advisory Committee. Many organizations, government, education, PSU, and a myriad of Native organizations, including my own, have representatives on that committee and have done many years of work to help advise the Parks Bureau where our areas overlap, where our wisdom might help them, to assist them with ceremony when it's appropriate. But in addition, this group has created a welcoming environment for Natives at cultural events. They've established their own Native plant gardens. They have used Native names to introduce into the community at some of these gardens. They've created activities in the park, including Native Family Day, which is coming up soon. And I just want to give a special thanks to them for the commitment they have that our parks reflect all segments of our communities and serve us all. There is more work to be done. Our statistics clearly show that there continues to be great disparity of economic opportunity, affordable housing, education gap, overrepresentation of Native Americans in our justice system, and much more. But it's the tribal way to come together as a community to accomplish our goals. Therefore, the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians of Oregon, one of the 9 federally recognized tribes in Oregon, endorses this proclamation and is thanking you for proclaiming October 10th, 2016 to be Indigenous Peoples Day. And we commit to standing shoulder to shoulder with the City of Portland to accomplish that work going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to let my nephew speak for a moment, but thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Fish Martinez, and like my auntie said, she asked me to come here and say a few words. I love to sing, but I'm going to share a few words. This is just a little spoken word, what is called the healing way. From the northern hemisphere where civilizations fear apocalyptic change, still the natives that remain stand up, voices up in the face of a nation. What's worse than when Mother Earth hurts, putting scars on her back, digging up Apache sacred lands, poisoning the rivers, state funds from the government to eliminate eel runs, nuclear waste zones, winds of change bringing it home, sweet home. Now we need in more vaccines, pills, and radiation schemes instead of remembering, planting, and harvesting our nature's medicines. Lies and excuses, political agendas so they lock us up in prisons and institutions. Don't ever call us terrorists for putting up our fists to fight for what we believe in. Spiritually weaving cedar bark, watertight, ignite the flame within. Warrior shed blood sacrifice, one love for everyone within the sound of my voice. Word, sound, power be the choice. Running with the eagle staff, retracing them forcibly march paths, bringing the healing back. Watching them dams fall down, it's got me feeling like I'm at a powwow or ceremony. Singing for all things, dancing for the healing way. The fight in us still remains, and the warrior bloodline still sustained in the memories of families' blood stains. That's why we unified. Just keep this fight alive. Worldwide, freedom for all, every day, always. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there other tribal representatives that would like to come speak to us this morning? And I know, again, we have a representative of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe as well, so please. come forward. Please. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Philip Marchambeau, and my maiden name is Uxlatitonka, Dakota Hukpapa. I'm born and raised on a Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota. Now, I lived there until I left there in 57, never went back. I go back for visits, but nothing else. But again, I just want to come in as a Lakota from my home country and give appreciation and thank you, people, for writing the document that you did to our people, supporting our goal that we have going back there. You know, and it's, we have a lot of people show up there. And I was up there a couple weeks ago. You know, and there's a lot of different tribes, nations, and we had a lot of people from all over. And my cousin, Dave O'Shamo, is a culture, tribal chairman over there, was involved in dealing with the UN and everything, you know. So we're just trying to save our land. We're trying to save the water for our people and for the people all over, you know. And I think it's kind of waking up to a lot of people throughout the country, throughout this world, how important water is to us. You know, our people a long time ago lived in harmony with Mother Earth. We lived in harmony with everything that Mother Earth had. You know, and we had a lot of respect for the water, for the earth itself, the plant life, the animal life. It was all part of our lifestyle, you know, and we survived with it, you know, and it's part of the respect of it, you know. And I kind of feel sad to know, but I felt good inside when I was over there to see all these people from all the different tribes that were there. We had 130-some tribal flags, from logo flags, flying over there with all the different tribes. Big camp, there was 3,000 people in the camp itself. You know, and all there, you know, and I can understand how this government will let these kind of people that have money and power come in there and think they can just take over the land and do what they want to do. They didn't even discuss anything or say what they want to do. Well, you know, it's a proven fact that, you know, wherever they went, they always polluted the water. You know, Southwest had their water polluted, so they're up in Canada, they had their water polluted too because of the oil. You know, once that water's polluted, they can't drink it. We can't use it no more. And that's what we're fighting for. You know, it's kind of interesting how we're not there. We had ranchers from all over there too. We had 300 saddle riders on horseback come to support us. A couple of days ago, we had a bunch of young people come run all the way from the Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota. Young kids come up there, ran all the way up there to help support us. And this makes me feel good and sad how the support that we are getting. You know, we're just trying to save things. We're trying to save the water. We're trying to save Mother Earth. But the greed that people have, it's sad. It's sad how people have that power to be able to be greedy like that. Not just, you know, not think of what they're doing to this earth, you know. And so it's been foretold in our history that, you know, things are going to be rough for us. And it's time for us to do different things. And we're doing it now in peace. We're not in arms. None of us are in arms. All we do is pray. Pray hard, and we use our pipes and other ceremonies that we can have to pray that the Great Spirit God will help us to maintain and keep our Mother Earth clean, our water clean. You know, and that's what it's all about. For that. I brought some sage I'd like to give to each one of you here, as well as my wife, Kathy. And got some necklaces our daughter-in-law made for us to give to you people. And I will give that to you, and then I'd like to have my friend Leroy here. And I'll let him introduce himself. I'd like to have him sing a Lakota song to you guys in honor of you giving us that support from the City of Portland and your commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name's Leroy, big boy. I'm a Lakota Sioux from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. I came to Portland 32 years ago, and I got a job with NARA, Native American Rehab Association, and I've been with them for 23 years. And there's a lot of Native Americans who came through, and a lot of them finished, and they're no longer here with us. So I wanted to sing a song thanking God for the medicine that He gave us, which is sobriety. Thank you.
I know we all do, that these leaders of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe came to our city, and to express your thanks for our support. I hope you know, and I hope you've felt it while you've been here this time, that it's not just the five of us, but the people of this city who are with you. And we know this struggle is hard, but we are with you, and we will continue to be with you. And so thank you for being here today. I'm not sure if I can talk right now. Excuse me. I know we have some folks here from NEA who would like to speak this morning as well. So do we have representatives of NEA here? Maybe not. Okay. And then I know we do have some students from the Chamawa School this morning. So before they come forward, are there any other tribal representatives who would like to speak this morning? Again, thank you all for being here, and we will turn the chambers over to the students from the Chamawa School. Please come forward, and thank you for coming. Yes, anywhere you'd like. You want to come speak to us first, and then yes, please have a seat. And good morning. So glad you're here.
Good morning. Thank you. I have Slava Hihisquish, Rahakhlehis, Hamachgalat, Antoine Timina Peters, Kwe Chamao Indian School, Kulf Moose, Vosh. Hello, my name is Antoinette Timina Peters. I am from the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. I am from Idaho, Coeur d'Alene Reservation. Also, I'm from Chamao Indian School. I've been there for 4 years, so I'm a senior this year.
Congratulations.
So, I came here to perform and pray for you lovely people today.
Well, what do you hope to do next, now that you're going to be graduating from high school?
Well, I decided to go to college and bring something back to my tribe. So, museum studies and go work at the cultural department. And then something that can help with our tribal youth.
Wonderful. Wish you well.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome. Just pull that microphone down. There you go.
Good morning. My name is Riverworks. With Chamawa. I'm a freshman. And I came with them to help perform and speak.
Well, we were really glad you're here. We appreciate having, we always love having students here, but particularly for Indigenous Peoples Day. And I think this might be the first time that Chamawa Indian School has come to our chambers and performed. So this is a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Family as well. Welcome. Yeah, let's hear it for students. Good morning.
Bonjour, Annie. My Anglo name is Warner Austin. My given name in the Ojibwe way is Nandinwinini. My Cherokee name is Hiskasi Delaney. I've been at Chamawa about 15 years, but I'd like to ask for one thing before we go further. Stand up and stretch, everybody, please.
Okay. Stretch.
Stand up and stretch.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we aim to share happiness. That's what we're about.
Good.
This dance is called a fancy shawl dance, and it's kind of new to Indian country. They said that in the old days, the ladies would just kind of dance in place, and among the different plains tribes and all, the young ladies, they would watch their dads, their uncles, their older brothers, and other male relatives go out and just really dance up a storm, so to speak. And in the progression of things there, some of them would borrow their older brothers' outfits, their dads and their uncles' outfits, and they'd go out and dance as men. And some of them began to win contests. And this made the guys mad. Go get your own dance. And so they came up with this fancy shawl dance. And their movements are much like that of a butterfly. We're really proud of our young people. They said to us 500 years ago that soon our songs and our dances would disappear, but you'll hear with your own ears and see with your own eyes that our ways are very much alive. With some of our tribal students at the school, their native language is their first language, and they have to learn English later. After this next dance, which is Crow Hop, we'd like to have our Hopi dancers also share with you. Our school has many different tribes, and a lot are from the state of Arizona. Arizona itself has a lot of different tribes. Our next dancers and singers will be from the Hopis from Arizona, and I'll let them introduce themselves and explain their own dances.
Good morning. 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 My Hopi name is Siyama. My English name is Melvin Sisto. I'm from the village of Pakavi, located on Third Mesa in Arizona. And I'm Coyote Clan.
Lulama sinamai lamata longvai pewa kakoya mapita. Pai na hoitima talayam tewa yan pahan matiwa. Pai na kumahongva yan hupi matiwa. Pai na masang ne efkita. Pai na pew seke mesa efkita. Good morning, everyone. My given name is Hoitimatalaimtewa, and that's also a Hopi name, but that's my English name. So it's kind of hard for me to get through school and stuff, my hospitals and stuff. Everyone has a hard time saying my name. But, yeah, we're usually loud, but this is a whole new environment to us. So, you know, we're just trying to, you know. But we feel welcome, you know. Yeah, thank you for having us. It's a big pleasure to be here with you guys. We're part of the Hopi tribe, and our whole tribe together has been around for as long as I can remember, you know, because I'm not that old either. So, yeah, so the dance that we're doing today is called the corn dance, and most of our tribe, well, our tribe is based around corn because that's the only thing that's been there for us, especially in Arizona. Dry farming is something that's famous within our reservation. And to hear about, you know, the pipeline and everything, we actually had a group set out from Hopi all the way in Arizona to make it to Standing Rock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a whole dance group up there, too, for those guys. And, you know, we're supporting everything that's going on today, and, you know, not only here but everywhere else. And, you know, that's all we really want to do is just be there to help, you know. And we even actually had a food drive sent up to Standing Rock, too, within our tribe. And, you know, it's a big pleasure, like I said, to be in front of the mayor. You know, thank you. Yeah, kind of shy, so I'm talking too much. But
you're fine.
Yeah. Anyway, the dance, like I said, is the corn dance. And there's two different aspects of this dance. The first one will be, you know, our tribe is famous for kachinas. And, you know, that's the first aspect. And the second would be, you know, the social aspect where it's boys and girls, and, you know, Melvin, he'll be portraying the dance as an Avatsoya, and that's one of our corn dancers. That's the name of the Avatsoya in Hopi. Yeah. And so he'll basically be telling the story with his hands. I'll let you tell you guys a little bit more about that.
So, yeah, while I'm dancing, you'll see me moving my hands almost like sign language, and I'll be doing like a lot of this nana nivo'o, which means in all the directions. O'o mawate means the clouds. Yoyoke means the rain. So basically in all our songs, we're asking for all the clouds from all different directions to come in and rain on our crops. Because like he said, we do dry farm out there. We do have a hard life. But not only out there, but everywhere around the world. Because we don't pray for ourselves, we pray for everyone around the world. So hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Kakwa, thank you.
Yo, 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 yo